Many of us are involved as leaders and board members of new or emerging nonprofits. Whether working with the homeless, the environment, animals, children, or one of the many, many types of charitable organizations, every new leader wonders, are we doing this right? Enter Renee McGivern and Nonprofit Spark. Each week, Renee and her guests walk through an area of nonprofit work in clear, concise, and practical themed shows. Whether it's about best practices, developing and keeping a volunteer force, fundraising, effective governance, or hiring staff, to name but a few, you can boost your nonprofit know-how and confidence. Renee and Nonprofit Spark have arrived.
Welcome to Nonprofit Spark, a show for leaders and board members who want new ideas to take new actions and produce new results. This week, I'm happy to have back Sherry Truler of Red Apple Auctions to talk about Fund a Need, a fundraising tactic that takes advantage of an event where you have a number of people in attendance. Do you have an item you need to buy, like a bus to transport kids, or a specific program you want to give special attention to? Fund a Need can be a great way to focus people's attention, raise money, and you don't have to have all the fuss of getting items for a live or silent auction. Sherry describes 7 steps for making the Fund a Need process work, and she gives examples of several types of organizations who are very happy with this approach. Now, as you listen, think about how you'd fit this into your overall development activities and the pledge levels that would make sense for your organization and donors. Fund a Need sure makes sense to me. If you have a fairly steady group of donors who attend your events, and they'd be willing to fill a table with their friends. So think ahead to 2014 and where you could tuck this great idea into your schedule, because it's manageable and straightforward and produces great results. Enjoy the show.
Well, welcome back to Nonprofit Spark, Sherry.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Sherry, when I contacted you, I said, I want you back on the show. Do you have any ideas? And right away you said, let's talk about Fund a Need. And I thought, okay, if whatever Fund a Need is, okay, let's get her back on the show and let her talk. So why don't you describe what Fund a Need is, and then we can go from there.
There is never a shortage of things to talk about at auction galas. First, we need to set that record straight, Renee. We can talk about lots of things. So here's what a Fund a Need is. It's a wonderful way to be very mission-centric in raising money, and it does not need to be attached to an auction. So, for instance, it could be where you have got a luncheon going on, maybe you're honoring some people, and voila, you drop in a Fund a Need to raise money. Or it could be that you have got a family-oriented carnival-style event, and at a given time, you kind of call the crowd together, and voila, you do a Fund a Need. So it's a way to identify something in your organization that needs funds, or it could be just a time where you refocus the crowd's energy and attention on what your mission actually is, and you ask guests to make a cash contribution.
Well, it makes sense to do something if you have an event or a gathering of people for one reason. Why not take advantage of them while they're there?
Precisely. And that is exactly what this is all about, is, you know, you've already gone to the effort of having all of these people come to whatever it is that you've organized. So now let's make sure that they understand that they're not just there for the chocolate extravaganza that, you know, all these people, chefs in your community donate, or they're not just there for the live bands that you've organized here, but they actually know what you do and have a chance to donate cash.
Give us an example.
Okay, well, I'll give 2 examples. One nonprofit, which is primarily your focus, but also a lot of schools, I think, kind of fall into this too. Nonprofit-wise, I've got a homeless shelter. They have this big event every year where they encourage families to come. About 20 different chefs in the community come together and have little bite-sized samplers of their known-for entree at their restaurant.
Okay.
So they've got these 20 people. There's 20 chefs there. They've got live music going on in the background. They've got face painting going on for the kids. They've got air guitar contests going on for the kids. They've got balloons that are being formed into animals. And these people go around and test, or try rather, there's different chef tastings, and then they vote on who wins the competition. And it's just kind of a fun little way to say, you know, who's the best chef this year at the homeless shelter's little event.
So when they do this in the first place, it's to draw attention to the homeless shelter? Or?
Right. The event itself has been a fundraiser for them. And, okay. And I got started with this group about 7 years ago. So this is, you know, kind of going back in time, but I'm still working with them.
I see. So they buy tickets and that the price of the tickets is a fundraiser. The chefs are donating stuff.
Exactly. So that had been going on. But we started working with them, and one of the components that we did add was a fund to need. It was interesting because there was a woman on the committee. The group originally said, well, how can we add something to this event to raise more money? Someone suggested a silent auction. Joan, who sits on the committee, said, well, we could do a silent, but, you know, I know this gal who at that time had just graduated from auction school. So why don't I talk to her and see what she thinks first? So we started working with them. That is a group that is doing a fund-a-need. At a designated time, we're pulling the crowd together. We're quieting the band. The chefs are not, you know, in full gear as far as, like, you know, promoting and encouraging people to come to their booth. And we tell a story about how the homeless shelter is working and ask for money. So that's one example. Another example, too, which is pretty easy. I think a lot of groups already do this. This is, in this case, it is a Catholic school, but they honor some women every year in their community. And so the focus has always been over these honorees. And what they did is add in a fund-a-need to that event. So it's not just about honoring the women. That's where the primary focus is. But we also have a component in that event where we ask people to make a cash donation.
Okay.
I'm wondering if, you know, there's seven steps kind of that when I first started to try to explain this to groups, I broke it down into seven steps.
Oh, okay, great.
To get a grip. So all should right. we kind of walk through those and then we'll dive into each one? Would that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. So the first thing is, again, this is steps, and we'll dive in a moment. But you're going to select an item or select whatever it is, the service, the item, that you're going to raise money for. So you got to figure that out before the event. Number two, you're going to advertise the fund to need. You're not just going to spring it on people and expect that they're going to give. It sounds funny, doesn't it? But a lot of people think, well, should we just kind of like surprise them? And I'm like, well, I think it's nicer to let them know it's going to happen. So you know, we want to advertise it. We want to describe. So now on site, we're on site. We've been advertising it in our webpage or invite or whatever. Now we're on site, and we're going to describe that need or that service, whatever we've decided. We're going to describe it to the crowd. And sometimes that's done via speaker. Sometimes that's done via a video. But at any rate, it has to be described. The fourth step is that we're going to offer people the opportunity to give at different pledge levels. So they can you know, we're not just going to throw it out there and say, give whatever you want to give. We're going to give some suggested levels of giving because that helps the people.
Okay. Yes, it does.
When we offer those suggested levels of giving, we're going to publicly ask, but we're starting high. So that's the fifth step is we're asking high first. We're asking for the top amount first, and we're going to work down. Then, number six is we want to make sure that we're doing this publicly. We're not saying, oh, thank you for giving $500, and yes, you can put it in the envelope there and not tell me about it. We're going to make people raise their hand to say publicly that they're going to give that money.
Wow.
Okay. And then number seven is that we're going to announce the total of what was raised. We're going to announce the total so people know.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Nonprofit Spark. I'm your host, Renee McGivern, and I'm speaking with Sherry Truler. She's president of Red Apple Auctions and one of my favorite guests on Nonprofit Spark. She is a charity auction educator and onstage auctioneer who has worked with more than 300 nonprofits on their events. She also is a certified meeting planner, and she's based in the Washington, D.C. area. All right, let's go back through. All right, so selecting the item. Okay, Sherry, how does this fit in with their regular development operation?
So let's say that I worked with a YWCA a few years ago, and they had a need of getting a van. In the YWCA, they have these fabulous courses, right? They teach financial literacy. So women can learn about budgeting and so forth for their families. They might teach about job interviewing skills and so forth. And those are all held at the YWCA. The problem that they had within their community is that the women that they most needed to service relied on public transportation. So they needed to have a way to really get these people to the facility. So their bus, I'm trying to recall because it's been a couple of years now. The bus they had was either in, they either had a bus that was breaking, I think that was it. They had a bus, but it was so old. It was requiring so much maintenance. It just, it needed either a lot of work or they needed a new bus. I mean, that was really the point of it. So that was the need that had been identified. So in that case, that was a very, concrete need. You know, a van is something that people see, they ride in, they get.
Well, and then I could see, too, Sherry, why that wouldn't necessarily fit into their normal operating budget kind of thing like that. And it also fits well with this fund-a-need concept so that they could say, you know, we've got our operating budget, we get our membership dues, we do our annual fundraising, and then here's something sort of over and above, easy to pull out and feature.
Right. And last night I did an auction for an arboretum, and we raised money for the grounds and maintenance of the meadow. They have various elements to their arboretum, but last night we really focused on the meadow,
okay.
The grounds and operational elements, you know, and
yes.
That goes to, that's very generic. It's specific to the meadow, and we told stories about the meadow, but as far as it wasn't as perhaps concrete as the van.
Yeah, but again, I'm beginning to get this because if I was them and I had a number of things every year in my annual effort and membership campaign that I need to describe these 10 things we do at the Arboretum, you actually have an opportunity there to feature and educate about something unique about the meadows that wouldn't fit into a compact brochure or something about what they're doing.
Yes, of course. And like the year before, it was they had this goats program. They put the goats out in the meadow, and the goats eat invasive species. And so we focused on the goats, you know.
Yes, I got it.
Good
okay.
About the goats. And now, just to kind of back up, too, it can be a bit more broad-based. You know, it could be scholarships, you know, not quite so touchy-feely. Well, touchy-feely emotionally, but not so, concrete. So it's an opportunity to shine the spotlight on something that you're doing that's unique or that needs funding or that you can really rally the troops behind and get some cash to make a difference.
Yes.
So that's the purpose of it. It's a fabulous way to incorporate not just, you know, I'm usually on here talking about live auctions or silent auctions or, you know, events that have auctions components. But this is something that literally does not even need to have those other elements part of it. When I go down on Wednesday, I'm flying down to Louisville, Kentucky. That group down there does not do a silent auction. They don't do a live auction. I'm going down strictly to get on stage and motivate people to give.
Oh,
so
yeah. That's
it can be a great way to really raise money. Yeah. It can be. Now, I will say this. And we won't go much into this because it kind of gets into a whole other element. But if you have 500 people in the room and you have anywhere from 30 to 80% give, and we'll just say 50% at the offset, you can't imagine, though, that that's a lot of checkout that you're going to have. There's a lot of money collected that you somehow have to check out.
Yes. Okay.
So it does have some complicated elements on the backside. I mean, you're raising a lot of money. You're drawing some attention to your mission. But as with anything, there's some process elements you need to think through. So,
yes.
Okay, selecting that item. Does that make sense as far as when I
yes.
say? Okay. All right, number two, we got to advertise the appeal. You got to advertise. This isn't something we want to just spring on people. We want people to know before they arrive that this is going to be part of it. There'll be an opportunity to give, or we're going to be learning about the GOAT program, and we're going to be talking about the financial literacy program. Whatever it is, you want to put it in your website. You might want to put it on your invitation. Whatever you're kind of doing in your marketing for that event, this would become part of it because you don't want people to come to your event without a credit card.
Yes, absolutely. You know? I agree. Some people are even resentful if you spring it on them.
Yeah.
And you cannot count on that they're really
inspired at the moment. They don't have any method of payment. And then they're automatically going to follow up with you in a day or two or a week or no. Get them in the moment.
Yes, that's right. You want to
don't have to follow up.
Bring the emotional up to a high, and then you go ahead and ask.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
So number three, then those two things happen beforehand, right? You're going to have these. You know, maybe it's a board meeting, maybe it's within the nonprofit team, you know, executive team. They're really kind of drilling down and figuring out what that one item is going to be, and they're probably responsible for advertising it. But once we're on site now, we have to describe this need. So if you are doing an auction, sometimes the auctioneer does that. Like when last night, I was responsible for describing the need at the arena. When I fly
down,
I am. I do it. But this is going to depend on the capabilities of the person who's the auctioneer. So you may have the auctioneer do that, or you may have someone who is knowledgeable internally about the program you're trying to raise money for do that speech. Or you may have a video that you have crafted or edited. Maybe it's an existing video, but now you've edited it down to focus on whatever it is you're attempting to raise money for here. And you show that video.
Yes.
Not 20-minute video. More like a 2-minute video.
Ooh, that's short, huh?
Very short, but when it's done well, one of them that I have in an area of my website is 1 minute long, and it's incredibly effective.
Okay.
So,
I just want to point out to our listeners that if they don't have the ability to shoot a video or find a videographer quickly, I mean, just go grab a photojournalist at your local paper and really top-notch photographer, and then a slideshow can be just as impactful of, you know, key images. But don't have an amateur take them, or it's not very compelling. But well worth it. You can get the whole thing done for about, I don't know, $400-$500 at the most.
And I think that, again, a good speaker is just as effective. But it's the challenge of finding a good speaker because
yes.
We don't, and this is something that I kind of, we won't drill down this much into it today, but I think it's more important to have a good speaker than someone who is enthusiastic and knowledgeable about the cause but can't speak.
Yes, and it's so true, Sherry. They aren't necessarily one and the same.
No. That is why I speak. That is why I'm the
I
one that's supposed to get up there and do that, because you've got to be able to structure it in such a way. And I get enthusiastic. Am I a graduate, for instance, of the school that I'm going down to Louisville, Kentucky to raise money for? No, I'm not. But, you know, at the end of the day, people came up and asked me, well, did you graduate from the academy? No. But I know how to tell the story. I've read the history. I know a lot about that school. I understand why women get passionate about it. I mean, I wasn't a part of it when I was 16, 17, and 18, but I can certainly convey the mission and the enthusiasm. Now, not to say other people can't, they can. It's just that within your community, don't just go for someone who really is enthusiastic and sits on your board. You want someone who is a good speaker and can convey the it's like a good preacher. That's what it's like being up on that stage. It's like being a really good preacher right before they pass the plate.
There's a point. There's a point
yes.
to the whole thing, and there's a beginning, middle, end, and a
yes.
point. And sometimes I have been witness to the really enthusiastic, passionate person. I mean, they kind of choke up and everything, and I'm like, at the end, I'm like, okay, what is this program again now?
Yes. Perfect story. Yes, exactly.
Okay, good.
Okay, so you're going to describe the need, like I said, either through somehow you got to get that point across of why you need the money for the van, you know, why you need the money for the goat program, why you need to fund the meadow, you know, that sort of thing, and make it emotional, obviously,
gotcha.
Some ties. Number four is you're going to offer different pledge levels. So let's talk about this. The idea is that, for instance, when you are buying a gift for someone, maybe at the office, you know, some people might chip in, you know, $10 and some might chip in $20 and, you know, so-and-so's getting married or it's a birthday party. So, you know, everybody may be giving different amounts. Well, the same is true at your event is not everybody can necessarily give $1,000 you know, who's attending. Not everybody necessarily can give, you know, 500 or 250. Some people can give a lot more than others and will be particularly compelled to give depending on the mission of that particular fund and need. So I might be really interested in giving money towards a van, but maybe I'm not so interested in goats. You know, you're going to have different people react differently to whatever you're presenting. So from that standpoint, before you go in and ask for money, you're going to come up with some different pledge amounts that seem appropriate for your group. You might say, well, for our group, you know, we want to start at $1,000 because we've got some people here that can pay $1,000, and we'll drop that down. Usually you go in halves, Renee, so then it'd be $1,000 to $500, and then you'll see who wants to give $250, and then you'll see who wants to give $100, you know, and you'll kind of just offer different suggested levels of giving for the crowd to consider.
All right, let's say they're doing their first one. Do they base it on a look at their annual campaign and past experience and the average gifts they get for, well, like, for instance, for their capital campaign that they got? I mean, how would they come up with it?
That's a great question. And here's a little insider tip on this as well. Because regardless of who does the pitch, the emotional pitch that's right before the ask, right? So you can kind of think of this two parts. There's the emotional story, and then there's for the emotional video, and then there is the ask. So the auctioneer, or if you don't have an auctioneer, whoever is designated is going to be doing the ask. And when they do that, what I like to do is, although I don't know where any of the money is coming from per se, I do, as a tip, it's not a bad idea to have someone designated at the high level that you already know is committed to give at the highest level. So if, for instance, you've got someone who oftentimes gives you, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever, and maybe this is someone who gives it every December before, you know, tax season kind of wraps up and so forth.
Okay.
That would be a person that you might approach and say, hey, we're going to try something new this year. You know, we want to make sure that we started off strong. Would you be willing to raise your hand when the auctioneer asks for $1,000? Would you be willing to raise your hand at that time and kind of just start the giving?
Okay.
Okay. So it could be someone like that. So when the auctioneer is on that stage, or whomever is designated to do the ask, that the way that it might flow is the auctioneer or that person would ask, you know, here's how we're going to do this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start by asking for $1,000. I'm then going to drop it down to $500. I'm then going to go down to $250, then $100. I encourage you to raise your hand at the level that speaks to you. So to start it off here, who would like to give $1,000? Well, you know you've got that one person who's going to start off the giving. Now, I don't always get that person. Last night, for instance, they did not have – they're in a huge capital campaign. They've been asking for thousands and thousands of dollars, and many of the people who've been giving that money have been – they were in the crowd last night. So they chose not to have a top-level giver. The best practice, however, is to have someone set up at that. Not the rest of the levels, you know, but that level.
Okay.
So you start – you're going to start it off there, and then, you know, when that – when that person raises their hand, it's like, round of applause, bidder 123 is going to get $1,000. Who would like to join this man in his generosity, you know, or whatever? Or you might have other hands popping up at that level as well.
Really? You know, it fascinates me that people are willing to raise their hand.
Now think about this, because this is what gets into the psychological element of an auction. And
Actually,
it kind of leads – I'm going to talk about this, the next level, too, as we discuss this. And that's number five, which, remember, I said ask high first.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what happens. And this is a perfect example of this from last night. You start at 1,000, then we go down to 500, then we go down to $250, right? Well, if you've just seen someone give $1,000, suddenly, you know, you've heard this emotional pitch. It may not seem like a big deal to give $100. You know, if you started out at 100 and worked up, it starts to get more compelling. But when someone has just raised their hand and it's, wow, they just pledged $1,000.
I gotcha.
It becomes a little less so. And one of the things that I kind of like to say, too, as we go down to those lower levels is oftentimes, and I did this last night, I said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the $100 level at this point. I said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, my dad likes to say that sometimes we get to enjoy something on someone else's dime, meaning that we get to enjoy the food, we get to enjoy the music, we get to enjoy the ambiance, but we didn't have to pay for it. And I would be willing to bet that there might be some people here tonight who were invited by a sponsor or someone invited you to the event. I can think of no better way to thank them for the invitation than by raising your hand and pledging at a level that speaks to you and that clearly a cause they support or they wouldn't have invited you to begin with.
Okay.
You know, so there's a little, because people are raising their hand publicly and the guy at your table who invited you just gave $500 and you're not going to give anything?
Yes, I see. A little peer pressure there, but...
It's peer pressure. It is, yeah.
You know, that's often how it can start with people who are being introduced to something or, you know, frankly, people out of habit have been giving $100 for the last 20 years. Okay, people, it's time to beef it up.
Right.
You know, really.
Yeah.
What are you, $100 Charlie here? And, you know, your income has increased. You're financially well off. Boost it up. It's time. And so if it takes a little peer pressure sometimes, you know, obviously they need to be moved. You just have to do a good job moving them to, you know, want to participate. But, you know, I could see the benefit of this. I don't have a problem with that.
The interesting thing, I was talking with a woman who's a caterer here. I've worked with her at several events now, and she was talking. I had just kind of wrapped up the evening, and so I was chit-chatting with her as her team was cleaning up the catering stuff. And she said that we were talking about the fund need because it did particularly well at this particular school. In fact, doubled what they had hoped to make. And she said that it was funny because she had been invited to another event as a guest. And her sponsor had, you know, filled the table, and she and her husband were two of the guests at this table. And her husband had talked beforehand that they would give $100 in the fund to need. So they knew that this was going to be coming up, and they had said this is going to be our donation to this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they sat down, their sponsor raised his hand at like $5,000 to give in the fund to need. And she kicked her husband under the table like, we can't give $100 if our sponsor just gave $5.
I guess
so they increased their own donation.
Well, let's hold that thought a second. We're going to take a little break for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Clifton Gunderson and Larson Allen, two national accounting firms, have come together to form Clifton Larson Allen. The combined firm serves more than 5,900 nonprofit and government clients. You can call on Clifton Larson Allen for help with financial and compliance audits, tax preparation, temporary or full-time accounting assistance, and to develop proactive financial strategies for tough economic times. Clifton Larson Allen cultivates long-lasting client relationships so they understand the issues you've faced and the challenges ahead of you. Learn more about Clifton Larson Allen on their website at www.cliftonlarsonallen.com. Clifton Larson Allen, noticeably different.
Welcome back to Nonprofit Spark. I'm your host, Renee McGivern, and you can learn more about me on my company website at sparkplugconsulting.com. This week, my guest is Sherry Truler. She's president of Red Apple Auctions. She is a charity auction educator and onstage auctioneer who has worked with nonprofits on more than 300 events. She also is a certified meeting planner, and she's based in the Washington, D.C. area. And having said that, she's willing to go far outside that area to do her work and work with nonprofits. Okay, Sherry, let's keep going. So we got to number five, asking high, and then we were really dealing with the hand-raising one.
Yeah, exactly. So we're starting out high, and we're calling people out. So we're calling out those numbers as people raise their hand. Thank you, Bidder 123. That's so generous of you. Bidder 85, and look over here. Bidder 64 is getting in the action. He's giving $500. Thank you.
Wow.
So you kind of do that until there's no more hands. And then you go down to that next level. Who'd like to give $250? Look at the hands, ladies and gentlemen, here in the back. We've got bidder 87 and bidder 64 right next to each other. And over here we've got, you know, and you just kind of go around the room and you do that. Now, why? This is level number six, or suggestion, step number six, I should say, is make it public. The reason that we're doing that is as you already stated, Renee, it's the peer pressure. When you raise your hand, you are much less likely to back out of that commitment than if you are slipping a check into an envelope. In fact, let me tell you a little story here. So I was working with a hospice group, a hospice foundation, and yes. they had called me because the gal was new to the position, but she had worked with me at another hospice organization, so she switched jobs. So she said, I've got an event, and it's not doing well. We've got to shake this thing up because we're losing money on it, and unless we change this around, we're gonna nix it. So they had done a fund of need the previous year where they had shown, and I'm sure it was an awesome video because they do incredible work, they had shown a video and then asked people to make a pledge by putting money into an envelope. They had 600 guests there, and they raised exactly $50.
Mm.
And it was a fabulous video, she said. So this year, or the first year I worked with them, she said, okay, we're going to do this like the standard way, which is the public way. We raised over $40,000. In fact, while we're chit-chatting here, I'll see if I've got this. But it was over 40. So that's the difference between doing it right and doing it privately.
Yes, I get that. And, you know, you go to this all this trouble and you bring people in. Make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
And for the organization, make it worthwhile. And you're worth more than $50 in an envelope.
$45,150.
Yeah, it's just, come on, people. Come on, donors. But also, come on, nonprofits. Quit shying away from telling people the extraordinary things you do. You're worth it. The contrast is just shocking.
Yeah, and this is a group, by the way, if I haven't stressed it enough, they are on their game. So it's not like it's disorganized. They actually are really well organized. Okay, so I've got an organization up in Chicago. Last week I was up in Chicago doing a workshop, and they hosted me. It's a homeless shelter for women. And she instituted what she learned, not just in what I'm teaching here today, but actually I've got another workshop that goes even deeper into a fund of need and teaches you the scripts and when to say what and all of that sort of thing. And she said, we doubled what we'd ever done, and we hit our goal before we even started on the fund of need. They kind of did an adaptation. You know, they reached out to some people to ask if they could count on their commitment. They were trying to find that first person to raise their hand. And they had something like 6 people respond back and say, I'll do it.
Really?
So it was kind of a real neat story in that case.
That is neat. Sure, you're talking about nonprofits from across the board. This isn't some unusual, wacko, way out there idea. You're describing all types of nonprofits who are using this fund a need approach and very effectively. It isn't that bizarre of an idea. Do you know, I can hear some people might be going, can we do this fund a need? And there's a little bit of peer pressure. And it's like, give it up. Give it up. You're not that unique and you're not that different than a lot of these other nonprofits.
Oh, my gosh, no. I mean, it's like the homeless shelter that I told you about we first started out with that was here in my area. You know, they're raising $6,000 to $10,000, depending on the year, in the fund of need. So, you know, that's a smaller amount. But if you're a tiny nonprofit, that's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
very good.
So, yeah, I've got stories of where we raise well over $100,000. The bulk of the money is much less. But the fact is that it's impactful, it's mission-driven, you're showcasing something cool, but there is a process to it, you know, and these 7 steps are at least a good start if you've never heard of it before to get started on the path. So.
All right, let me just double-check on this number 7, announce the total. So there's somebody kind of keeping a little hand calculator in their hand as people are raising, they have paddles or what do they have?
Yeah, so this whole concept generated out of a live auction form.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know, yeah. So people already had numbers. So if you do not have numbers, there's going to have to be some adaptations that you're going to have to make because you got to get numbers to people. And the reason I say that is because it becomes clumsy otherwise.
Yeah.
Because if people raise their hand, what are you going to say? Thank you to the gentleman in the yellow shirt. Thank you over here with the woman in the
yeah, and then the staff blouse. Person runs over. Okay, what was your name again?
Exactly.
Or they have binoculars and they're looking at their name tag. What are they going to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now, even though it developed out of the live auction format, like I said, it is now being used when there's not even a live auction around.
Yes,
I got it. So there is a process, if you will, behind the scenes that's got to take place on an operational level to do this and do it well. And it is a little bit more coordinated than, like, running out there with a staff person and saying, okay, thank you for raising your hand. Now, I want you to complete all of this information that includes your credit card and your address
yes.
and your phone number so we can, you know, I mean, it's like, talk about destroying the momentum. So
yeah.
there is some elements to that. So
okay.
Announcing the total. You know, thank you, bidder 837, and thank you, bidder 642, and thank you, bidder 100. Okay, so then there has been a clerk, and that's not the auctioneer, that's not the person that's saying the speech. It's someone separate who's sitting up there on stage next to the person doing all of this, who has been writing down all of these numbers. And there is a, you know, for you can create a columns. So you have your $1,000 column, you've got your $500 column, you've got your $250 column, and you're writing the numbers down in the amounts that they've agreed to pledge. That is being totaled, and that clerk, the recorder, totals the amounts and shows it or tells it to the auctioneer.
Okay, I gotcha.
And I have a little form that I like to use, but certainly anyone can create it so that it cumulatively adds the columns. So that way it's a little bit easier. Instead of having to total 30 numbers or 100 numbers, you just total the 5 columns.
Gotcha.
So,
I love it.
So you know, I'll turn, like with last night, my volunteer recorder was Michelle, and I went over to Michelle and I said, Michelle, what's our total? And Michelle was the finance person at the nonprofit. So Michelle has totaled everything, and she shows me the number, and I turn back around and I say, ladies and gentlemen, give yourselves a round of applause. We have just raised, you know, $8,700 to help the meadow.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
So the in that case, and then depending on the crowd and kind of the vibe that's been going on, you can ask for, you know, maybe three more $100 donations, and you get it to an even $9,000.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may feel that you're kind of done, and you're done, and you just leave it at that. Last night we had a surprise giver who came up. I had announced the total, and he walked up and he said, "My wife and I would like to give $1,000." Which was the first level that I'd asked for, but they didn't raise their hand then. It's not uncommon to have that happen, so
okay.
We actually had a nice boost there at the end. But the idea is you want to announce the total, because if you don't, I guarantee someone will run up after the auction and say, wow, that was so exciting. So many people raised their hands. How much money did we make?
Of course. You absolutely have to do that. I agree.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate the generosity in the room. Here's what we did.
Yeah. You bet. And in the case of, like, the van, like, that was a story we told earlier. If you – let's say it's $18,000 to buy a van. I don't think it's that far off. It's 18, probably 20, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're another $500 or $1,000 off, you can say, ladies and gentlemen, it really does. We've got the van identified. We need $18,000 to buy this van. We are, you know, $600 short. We need that, you know, would anyone like to make up the difference here or, you know, encourage people to give on the way out? You may have, but this is a very small amount, you may have a percentage of people who do not want to raise their hand and prefer to give privately.
Yes.
Let them know that they can give on the way out the door. That's
yes.
fine.
Okay, good. Well, Sherry, they want to learn more about you, your company, and 7 steps to a successful fund a need. Where do they go?
Yeah. Well, I've got a very rich website with lots of information on how to improve your auction. You can find it over at redappleauctions.com. It's all purpley and pink, and as soon as you get there, you're going to see a big photo of me. And I even have some free gifts up there that people can take an advantage of. But I think, you know, Renee, for the purposes of what we just talked about today, I'd like to just kind of point people to a specific area where they can get even more information on a fund a need if they're so inclined. Would that be all right?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, when they get to my website at redappleauctions.com, I've got different tabs, and one of them is called Do-It-Yourself Products. And on that is a drop-down to webinars. And I led a webinar on this whole fund a need process. It was about 90 minutes, but it goes into detail on how to structure the speech that when you're on stage, how to get people, you know, kind of a formula, if you will, of what you say when to get people to be in that state of readiness.
Yeah.
There's also a link to a private area on my website where they can watch several videos. So if they're inclined to produce a video or they want to try that themselves, they'll see examples of really good videos out there that have been done to convey everything from how to get high-speed internet. That was one of the causes, is we needed high-speed internet, to things like scholarships, you know, so they can look at all of those. And just, I even include six scripts in there of what I've actually said on stage, so they could even model those scripts. So if they, again, go to the do-it-yourself products and drop down to where it says webinars, and once they get to the webinar page, there's if they scroll down, they'll find the one that's called Fabulous Fundaneed Secrets, How to Double Your Benefit Auction Revenues in 15 Minutes.
That sounds great. Well, Sherry Truler of Red Apple Auctions, thanks so much for being on Nonprofit Spark again. It's been a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. You're very fun to be with, Renee. Thank you.
Once again, Sherry's website is redappleauctions.com. Doesn't fund a need seem to be entirely doable? It's efficient. You're getting significantly more money per person than silent auction items produce, and with a lot less work. As we mentioned early on in the show, Sherry and I are aware that most organizations can pull out and highlight a key need of the agency. And also, your annual campaign necessarily describes the full scope of your organization, but Fund a Need helps you provide more information about a particular need or service. Now, here are Sherry's seven steps to a successful Fund a Need. 1. Select the item or program you're going to focus on. 2. Advertise the fund along with the event so people are prepared for it and they bring their checkbooks or credit cards. 3. Describe that need or service with a great story or video and make sure you have a good speaker. Passion alone doesn't qualify someone to persuade the donors in the room to give significantly more. So give that person a lot of thought before you ask them. 4. Offer people the opportunity to choose among different pledge levels. Find someone ahead of time who'd be willing to give at the top pledge level. 5. Ask for the top amount first and then work your way down. 6. Have people give publicly and acknowledge them publicly. And finally, 7. Announce the total you raised from your fund a need at the end of the event. I'm always impressed by how clever nonprofits are with special fundraising events, but I will add that you don't want this to be the only thing you do to raise money. Fund a Need is a fundraising boost idea. Nothing helps your nonprofit more in the long run than building a steady individual donor base of people you build relationships that you talk to and get to know over time. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. Follow me on Twitter at NonprofitSpark, one word, capital N, capital S. Also, send me a note at NonprofitSpark@gmail.com about how the show has made a difference for you, and I'll mention you and your organization on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week.
The staff of WebTalkRadio.net has a recommendation for those of you who are on the board of a nonprofit or work for one. Consider using a Nonprofit Spark show as a starting point for a great discussion about strategic planning, finances, fundraising, and more. All past shows are available in the archives. They offer a tremendous learning resource that you can access at your convenience. To learn more about Renee and her work, please visit her website at sparkplugconsulting.com. Or you can click on the globe on the screen in front of you. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again next week for another edition of Nonprofit Spark.